Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we're currently in the middle of a series called Family Vacation. And in this series, we're talking about this crazy thing called the family, right? Now, here's the thing. Even the mention of the word family causes everyone in this room to conjure up different images in their mind, right? Every family is different. Every family has unique challenges. And I hope today encourages you, but I'll be honest. I also hope it messes you up. I actually hope some of this message makes you uncomfortable, because that's how things change in our lives when we become uncomfortable with the way things are. So let's dig in, right? Hey, if you're a parent here, or been a parent, or maybe you're a grandparent, then there is a truth that you need to take hold of, and the truth is this. You are an irreplaceable presence in the life of your child. You are an irreplaceable presence in the life of your child. Parents, do you believe that? Do you believe that? This is the overall message of the sermon this morning, the thing that you need to take hold of and really come to grips with. You are an irreplaceable presence in the life of your children. There's also another truth out there, and the other truth says this. How you treat something is usually directly proportional to how replaceable it is. How you treat something is usually directly proportional to how replaceable it is. Think about a prized heirloom that's been handed down through the family. That's a prized possession, isn't it? You take great care of it, don't you? You may even have it locked up somewhere in a safety deposit box or a safe or something. Why? Because it's irreplaceable, right? It's something that has been handed down to you. It has significant value. If you lost it, you wouldn't be able to replace it, right? Kara and I both wear contacts, right? The difference, though, is that Kara wears disposable contacts, meaning she has a box of contacts at home. Anybody have, who wears disposable contacts? Yeah, a lot of us, right? She has a box of contacts at home, and every month or so she can throw her used ones away and get a new pair out, and when she needs more, she can just order a couple boxes more and she's good to go. If she happens to lose one, the contact falls out or something, no big deal, right? She just gets in our cabinet and gets another contact out and she's good to go. My contacts, on the other hand, are a different story. I have special contacts. They're actually bigger contacts. They're called sclera lenses. They have a special curve to them. And I only have one pair. So if I lose them, I'm blind until I get more in. We actually were with the Nichols and the McCanns last year, and we were driving and my contact fell out, and I did this the whole rest of the way. I didn't move because I needed to find that contact, and I never found it. I'm still about to go rip their car up and find it. But I couldn't find it, which wouldn't be a big deal, except my contacts cost $500 a pair. They're expensive. So I'm very cautious with them. I was actually so nervous going to Jamaica. I even told Kara this. Like, I'm so nervous going to Jamaica because what if I lose a contact and the rest of the time I'm in this beautiful country and I'm blind. I can't see anything. That'd be a real fun vacation, right? I didn't, so that's good. But Kara's can be easily and inexpensively replaced, so it doesn't matter much if she loses them. Now take that truth and apply it to your family. Think about this in the context of your parenting. There is one thing you have right now that is absolutely, positively irreplaceable. Once it's gone, you can never get it back. You know what it is? Time, right? Your time is absolutely irreplaceable. But here's the thing. When we have an object that is difficult or impossible to replace, we treat it with incredible care, don't we? But a lot of us don't apply that same care to something that is absolutely irreplaceable and much more valuable, time with our kids. Think of it like this. If you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,000, that's a great bank, right? $86,400 that carried over no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and every evening canceled whatever part of the amount you failed to use during the day, what would you do? Spend it, right? I'm buying all kinds of stuff. This is awesome. You draw it on every cent, every day, right? And use it to your advantage. Well, you have such a bank. And its name is time. And every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever you failed to invest to good purpose. It carries over no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account with you. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You are an irreplaceable presence in the life of your children. No one can replace you. Nothing can replace the time you give to your kids. And once it's gone, it's gone. It really, truly is irreplaceable. You are replaceable. You are replaceable. Nearly every area of your life, except your family. And once you grab a hold of that truth, it can help shape the priorities of your life. Here's what I've come to realize. I've come to realize this. Our church had a pastor before me, and guess what? Our church will have another pastor after me. But I am the only husband and the only father my family will ever have. I am replaceable here, but I am irreplaceable at home. You with me? Which means there are times where I have to say no to stuff. I may have to say no to some of you. And you may not like that. What some people don't understand is that I'm replaceable here, but I'm irreplaceable at home. I'm not going to wind up in divorce court because I choose to be married to the church instead of my wife. I'm not going to visit my kids every third weekend because I chose to put the church ahead of my family. It's not going to happen. And that may mean there will be a time where I will say no to you. Not because I don't care about you, but because I realize where I'm replaceable and where I'm irreplaceable. I'm replaceable at church. I really am. You could replace me, probably with someone even better than me. But I'm irreplaceable at home. And it's just not me. The same is true for you. You are replaceable at your job. You are replaceable on your team. You are replaceable in your club. You are replaceable in your school. But moms and dads, you are irreplaceable at home. If you own that truth, not just believe it, if you own that truth, it's going to change the decisions you make. It's going to realign your priorities. It will turn your life upside down in the greatest ways. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, why don't you open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you have to sing the song to get to the Deuteronomy, go ahead. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There you go. Did it for you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of the Bible, towards the beginning of the Bible. We're going to be hanging out here for the day. Sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 5 through 9. I'm going to read it here real quick. It's on the screen for you as well. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Listen closely. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The first thing that you simply can't miss in this passage is that parents are the primary spiritual teachers for their kids. You want to talk about something that's irreplaceable, parents? You really are the most important source of spiritual instruction and direction for your kids. The church is not. You are. Our children and student ministries are designed to be your reinforcements. They are there to reinforce what you are already teaching your kids. They are there to give your kids another voice of godly wisdom that is speaking into their lives, but they are not set up to be the primary spiritual teacher for your kids. Josh McDowell wrote this: "The most important impact upon a child's ethical, moral, and spiritual development is the relationship with the parents. It is 300 times greater than the church." 300 times greater than the church. Parents, your impact on your child is 300 times greater than the impact the church has on them. Meaning you have a job to do, right? Now let's think this through at the most basic level. At the most basic level, you can't do this if you're not there. Huh. Quite a novel idea. You can't do this if you are not there. The passage we read in Deuteronomy is all about teaching and instructing your kids. But one thing that is automatically assumed in this passage is that you will be with your kids. Verse 7 again. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Look at all the things that are just assumed in this verse. This verse assumes that you will be home with your kids. It talks about when you sit at home with your kids. It not only applies, or not only does it assume that you are home, but it assumes that you are creating unhurried, uninterrupted time with your kids at home. When you sit at home with your kids, it doesn't say when you work at home. It doesn't say when you surf the internet at home. It doesn't say when you watch TV at home. It says when you sit at home with your kids. That refers to slow, relaxed, uninterrupted time. How much of that do you have in your life at this moment? I know a lot of parents who are never home. But I also know a lot more who are home physically, but they are mentally, emotionally, somewhere else. How do you know if this is you? Just think through some basic questions. How often is your iPhone in your hand while you're at home? I just saw a statistic recently that said that 70% of adults in the U.S. now have smartphones. Most of you have a smartphone, but are you using your smartphone in a very stupid way? Focusing on it instead of your family? Do you care more about SportsCenter than the sport your child is playing? Can you name your favorite team's starting lineup easier than you can name your kids' best friends? Do your Facebook friends get more quality time from you than your kids? Some of you need to go on a Facebook fast starting today. Some of you probably need to take it a bit further than that, and you need to go home and just delete Facebook. Because you are living like a Facebook addict. If you got young kids at home, or maybe even grandkids, you need to play Candyland a whole lot more than you're playing Candy Crush, right? We could go on like this all day. But you get the point. You can't be present physically at home and you can be present physically at home and still be a million miles away. This verse in Deuteronomy assumes much more than physical present. It assumes that parents will be home physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I recently heard this phrase, and it really stuck with me. Wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. That's not nearly as easy as it used to be because our culture has been so connected, right? It used to be that when you left work, you actually left for the day, right? You were gone until tomorrow. You weren't at work until tomorrow, but then email was invented and the cell phone came along, and now all of a sudden, you are always reachable. Anytime, anywhere, you are reachable. And here's the thing that happens when we're always reachable. if you make sure that you are always reachable to anyone and everyone, you'll eventually become unreachable to your own family. They'll see you at home, but they'll realize that you are putting everyone else ahead of them. Verse 7 again. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. This verse assumes that you'll be at home making time with your kids. This verse assumes that you will also travel with your kids. It talks about conversations with your kids while you are on the road. There's nothing like traveling with your kids. You've heard my horror stories. Every parent needs to travel with their family. This entire series is called Family Vacation. However you can work it into your budget. I'm not saying if you don't have the money, don't plan a vacation then. Do some less expensive things. But however you can work it into your budget, there's nothing quite like hitting the road with your kids. Maybe you're wondering what this has to do with the sermon. This doesn't sound very spiritual to you. Well, you want to meet God, go on vacation with your kids. You'll be talking to God a lot. No, if that's what you're thinking, then you have no idea what spiritual actually is. Traveling with your kids is a great way to invest in some irreplaceable time with them. It's the things they're going to remember. The point is just do something. Do something to break up the routine of everyday life. Mark Batterson has said this: change of pace plus change of place equals change of perspective. That's good stuff. Change of pace plus change of place equals change of perspective. And that's true on a lot of levels. And it's actually incredibly true for the family. If nothing ever changes, your perspective and your kids' perspective actually will begin to shrink. You'll wind up with this teeny tiny worldview that centers all around your problems and challenges and struggles. It's all about me, right? Going back to our verse in Deuteronomy again, we said that this verse assumes a lot of things. It assumes that you'll travel with your kids. It assumes that you'll be home with your kids. It just assumes that you will create time with your kids. A lot of us live at breakneck speed, don't we? Our schedules can get ridiculous, can't they? But we need to understand that a crammed schedule is not the mark of wisdom. Most of the time, it's the mark of foolishness. I understand insane schedules. I understand that your kids have practices and games to go to. I get it. And those are good things. Things like sports teach our kids a ton of good stuff. I mean, three out of our four kids are actually in soccer this year. Grady is like beyond excited to finally play a sport. He's gone to his sister's sporting events and practices, and he just wants to play. So this year he gets to play. Riley started a couple weeks ago. This week Brogan and Grady start. And the thing is, as I've said before, one of the ways I actually get to meet people in the community and build relationships with people in the community is to coach my kids' sports team. So I'm helping with practices for Riley's team, I'm coaching Brogan's team, and I'm an assistant coach for Grady's team. Meaning, starting tomorrow, you can find me down at the soccer fields Monday through Thursday. That's where I'll be every evening, Monday through Thursday. So I'm obviously not anti-sports. But at the same time, we need to understand and teach our kids where things like sports rank on our list of priorities. And here's the thing. When you stand before God one day, he's not going to ask, so how many rushing yards did your kid have that year? How many three-pointers did she make? He really pitched a no-hitter? How many goals did she score? And he's also not going to ask, hey, did your kid make straight A's? Were they popular? Did they get into that right club? Did they go to a good college? I'm not saying any of those are bad, but I am saying that it's really, really easy to make them into a lot bigger deals than they really are. And when we make it into a bigger deal than it should be, we wind up wasting a lot of precious time. Time that we can never recapture. Time that is irreplaceable. For some of us, the truth is that we are just flat out too busy. It's as simple as that. We have overscheduled our family, and you may not like this, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. You choose your schedule. Your schedule doesn't choose you. There are no victims when it comes to schedules. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, and this is the NLT, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." Wisdom comes when we have the right perspective on time. When we realize that time is short, we will learn to treat it wisely. That's especially true when it comes time with our kids. Wise parents understand the need to maximize their time because they realize how much time they don't have left. Right? Nettie's learning this right now because she just dropped Jordan off at college last week. Time is slipping away on being a parent. Wise parents understand the need to maximize their time because they realize how much time they don't have left. Here's what we have to understand. Jesus didn't just die to save our souls. He died and rose again to turn us into totally new creations. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Jesus doesn't just save your soul. He turns you into a totally new creation, and as a new creation, you have a new perspective. Once Jesus invades your life, you see relationships differently. You see opportunities differently. You see problems and hard times differently. You see time differently. But as a new creation, you also see second chances when you have failed, right? And listen, when it comes to this whole parenting thing, I feel like I fail way more often than I succeed. Honestly, I feel like the last person on earth who was qualified to preach a message like this because I feel like I get it wrong more than I get it right. But here's the beauty of parenting under the grace of Jesus. Second chances are the norm. And third chances, and fourth chances, and fifth chances. It doesn't mean that you can replace the time you've lost, but it means that course corrections can happen. Things can change. If you are in Christ, you are set free from the baggage of your past, which means you can act differently in the future. Well, that's good. The death of Jesus on the cross for your sins is the game changer. And not just in eternity. It's the game changer in your life. It's the game changer in your home. It's the game changer in your marriage. It's the game changer in your parenting. If you are in Christ, you are completely new creation because of what Jesus has done for you. Amen. And some of us need to claim that grace. It's as simple as that. We just need to claim that grace. We need to own that second chance. We need to go home and call a family meeting. We need to tell our family that by the grace of God, we're going to make some changes. We're going to make the most of the time we have left. Why? Because you are an irreplaceable presence in the life of your children. Father God, It is my prayer that this message has not only challenged myself, but it has challenged other people here this morning. Father, I hope we can truly take grasp of the hold of that we are actually an irreplaceable presence in the life of our children. And I know there may be some people here thinking, well, I don't have any children. Well, yeah, you do, because ultimately you have children here at this church that when they were dedicated, you said, hey, I promise as a church that we're going to help spur these kids on and help teach them the ways of Jesus and disciple them. So, yeah, we all have children. So we can't get out of that. So even if we don't have children in our homes, Father, help us to realize that we're an irreplaceable presence in the children of this church, of this community of believers. And some of us need to step up and take responsibility in that. But that doesn't discount what us parents need to do. We have 300 times greater influence on our children than the church has. So help us to be those positive influences in their life. Help us to when we're at home, we're all at home. But I gotta do this project and I gotta do this. Those things don't really matter when it comes down to it. What matters is time with our kids, investing in our families. Help us to see that as a priority. Because once we do that, a lot of the things going on in our world and the mess that's has been created in our world, if we can invest in our kids, ultimately, I think that's going to shape the world. So empower us, encourage us, help families get into life groups so they can live life together. And when they're saying, hey, I'm struggling with this with my kids, and the other one's going, I'm struggling the same thing. What can we do? How can we help each other? How can we be an encourager to each other? Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you do in the life of this church. Father, I pray that you will continue to spur us to do new things, to take new steps of faith in you. I hope we use the language more often. Well, we've never done that that way, and that's great. I'm excited for new things. Instead of, well, we've never done it that way, I'm not sure we should do that. Father, help us to see things the way you see things. Help us to see people the way you see people, which is the most important thing. Help us to really, truly be a church that pursues you in our lives and also pursues people where they're at. Father, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.